Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, Steve speaking. And I'm afraid it's one of those ghastly best-of podcasts from the Running Commentary Boys. But don't go just yet, as we have carefully distilled their marvellous 3-hour Brighton run into one condensed hour. Enjoy.
Let's go.
So we're off.
Good morning. This is Running Commentary.
Good morning.
We are in Brighton.
We're in Brighton.
Very nice weather conditions for a run.
It seems all right at this stage.
It's grey and chilly and not windy.
They're talking about a storm, but we haven't as yet seen one.
Oh, there? Yeah, Storm Thelma.
Yeah, there's been rumors
coming in
of
from
a
the
storm
US.
Coming, yeah.
We are going to run down the hill here to slightly back from the seafront and then up the hill on the other side onto the South Downs.
Like it.
And then over the Downs down to the coast beyond Rottingdean this way. And then along the seafront, and then back along the seafront, and back along the seafront, and then we're hoping to do...
Back along the seafront, and then where's some water, and I need a sandwich, and we need the toilet, I'm really tired, and where are we going to... Basically, this is the long run that people have been craving for. People have been asking us for a long run, because we did loads last year together, we haven't done as many this year.
And it was quite funny, I said to Paul, I said, well, let's go 20 miles, we're both on the south coast, we do that, and he said, yeah, but it's going to have to be 22.
I'm meant to be doing 22.
He's meant to be doing 22.
I know, 22.
Well, so I'm doing
it
too.
Let's see how it goes.
Oh, I've just... Well, I didn't take a photo of us. Oh, come on.
We were so excited.
Adhere to the protocols, Deering. We should get this because this is the before shot.
Yes.
It's the before shot of those guys.
When we can still use phones. Looking good.
Yeah, I think we look okay.
Looking really tired.
If we get really confused later, you're the red one and I'm the blue one.
So we had another... So it's a long run. It's a 22 round Brighton surrounds.
Yeah.
Your classic prep for the marathon. We had another night together in a room, didn't we? So it gave me a bit of a... Do you know what? I actually found myself quite looking forward to it. I did. I thought, it's actually quite nice.
Well, it was an upgrade.
Sharing
right.
A room.
You might have seen photos of our little skimpy single beds in Bath.
Yeah.
But here in Brighton, we had double.
We were in the...
Double bed each.
The perfect. We doubled that. Yeah. We topped a toad in a lovely little double.
Yeah, it was like channeling your chocolate factory.
No, it was...
It took me a long time to get to sleep. I was saying to Paul this morning, I think it's coffee, but right. It could be just a lack of trust.
Yeah.
No, at a deep psychological level, I think he's going to murder me.
No, you go to sleep, Rob. Yeah, I'll just watch you. Yeah. You sleep on, mate. I'll just play with these forks.
I'll just keep my eyes on you and keep slapping my own face.
Oh, no, this gaffer tape's pure coincidence, mate. You sleep on. No, it was...
But you, because we were both...
I was so knackered.
We've been really tired this week.
I was awake, wasn't I?
You had a huge sleep.
I was awake very quickly. I probably had about 8.5-9 hours, which...
Yeah, you said, and I quote, happen. Well, we've got kids, we'll wake up early. And then you slept till about 9 o'clock. No, beyond nine, half nine.
Yeah, brilliant. Amazing.
I suppose some young people is early.
Yeah, but to me, that's a monster line. That shows that you need it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It also shows that if you're at that phase of marathon training where you just knackered all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Where I'm at. So.
No, I think that... I think we're both aware of... you know, feeling a bath half this week. And we were doing a bunch of stuff. But I think feeling a bath half is a good sign. It means you use a lot of energy there, you know?
Yeah.
So it was hard.
Excuse me.
Sorry. That lady got out of your way.
Into yours.
Into mine! Out of my way.
You can see
coming
that pub.
Through.
You can see that pub as well, right?
Yeah.
Well. Either that or I'd be already tripping. That's the hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin. Yeah, let's make the pub as scary as can be. Will that make people want to come in? Yeah, it's Brighton. It's Brighton.
So,
yeah,
how's
so
how's your recovery been from the bath?
I've been really tired this week, but you know, mainly because I've been doing loads of stuff. But my initial recovery was the worst of it because I had this thing. Really enjoyed bath half, right?
Yeah.
And let's go back to it and do a bit more of a breakdown, I think. But you know, now the dust has settled.
Yeah.
But just at the moment when I was basically on the come down.
Right.
I got my time online. Yeah. And also, I hadn't got it. Everyone had got texts.
Right.
Saying what their time had been.
Yeah.
I didn't get my one of those till the next day.
Yeah, same here, actually.
And so I looked online. I found my time. And it just said, Rob doing this time.
Right.
No sort of chip time, finish time or anything. And it was the time I'd gone over the finish line.
Yes.
Which meant it was a long 2 minutes longer than I'd done.
Yeah.
And I'd had a slightly disappointing time anyway.
Right.
So, and it, none of that even then would have mattered. But because it was exactly that moment, like about maybe 2-3 hours after the run. Thank you. I was just sitting on the train. You know, it kind of broke my spirit.
Right.
And I was tweeting about half going, how can you do this to me? This was a special day.
Chip time.
It's ruined.
Race time.
2 minutes is ruined. And then everyone said, no, look on the website. This is real time. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Thanks. Yeah, I've eaten a banana now. Everything's fine. So that was that. But I do think I wanted to give you this credit because I went to the bath half. We look forward to doing it again and everything. But one, very busy off the top there, very hard to get a steady getaway.
Well,
and two, I think it is long.
I think everyone
who measured, everyone I consulted with who measured it on their own device, got roughly 13 and a half miles.
It's very hard to run the quickest route of any course, isn't it, to follow the line, especially when there's loads of people there. I think it's fractionally long,
Yeah, I think
we felt that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it's about maybe. I think it's reasonable to say it's about
50 metres long. Or?
Well, I think more like 0.25 of a mile. I think it's about a quarter of a mile too long.
Right.
Or maybe 0.2. But then, you know, take that and put it to one side. I think also I need to understand that. I you know how you got your. Your half marathon PB is from, like, almost in another life.
Yes.
So
yes.
I really see this in you because you got.
This is my second coming as a runner, definitely.
Yeah, and you got an absolutely superb time at Bath, and you could tell it to anyone, and they'd go, "Oh my god!" But you'll always have yourself in the back of your mind doing it faster than that.
Yeah.
In a previous life.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah. Although with me, it's so far away.
Yeah.
It really is.
And so it should be.
Yeah.
And also, I think that we have to recognise that all these things that made Bath hard to get a good time in also apply to you.
Yeah.
So I think you can reasonably say that your 85-minute run was kind of an 83-minute run.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's sort of it's a funny one because the first 3 miles, it was a bit stressful before the start, wasn't it? Because we left it a bit late to get to the start. Well, I did.
Oh, the start.
The start.
Yeah, because we were waiting around in the charity village from about 6.
Yeah. And then I realised that you were getting funnelled in with loads of people who obviously weren't going to be trying to do
it. Yeah, if you're dressed as a shoe, you're probably not running it as fast as Paul.
That's a bit of a given.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And then we set off. And it's just really hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're trying to pick your way through.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think either of us were actually going any slower than we would have done. We were just running in a much more haphazard, tiring way.
It is really tiring. So I got to 3 miles, and I was way off the pace I wanted. But I was also more tired than you'd want. Yeah. Psychologically, you tried so hard to nip and tuck and finding quickest routes between people, and sudden bottlenecks and weirdness.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I found my flow, but it did slow me down, though, which... I just think it's not that bad a thing to be slowed.
No, I mean, you had a... And you, then you compensated for that.
Yes,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, we... This is interesting that we talk about this now, because we're probably slightly breathier than usual. We're going up a long hill
we're
now.
Out of Ryan, but
I stuck this in early on, because...
Nice, yeah.
We can handle the hills, but also, this will stop us going off too fast today.
Yeah. Not much danger of that.
No.
So because I was overtaking people virtually all the race, which is amazing, actually. And it, for me, it was a lesson for London.
Yeah.
If you get part of that wave that's just overtaking people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so much more fun.
Whatever you do, you want to find whatever happens in that first half of a half or a marathon or whatever, you want to find a speed and then stick to it, you know, try and stick
to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as it gets harder later on, when it's hard, it's got to be established.
Yes.
And say, oh my God, I want to stop. And then also be thinking, oh well, keep running.
Yeah, you get your legs in a rhythm that maintains, although it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
It's like a default setting.
Yeah, that's right. And you're thinking about it, but then sometimes you forget about it for a mile or 2 miles.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, your legs just...
They're just ticking
keep
over.
Keep doing hopefully. It. Yeah. Over, that's right.
That's why all those tempo runs, which I haven't really done, are really good for you in training, just to get used to running when knackered, steady, hard running. You
that's
know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I find they're the harder sessions to do.
Yeah. I think for you and me, these long runs are important. I mean, you're doing loads, and I won't do too many, but if any, but...
They're crucial.
But they... I think so, it's not just the fitness, it's also the nature of the run. I think that you and I are still kind of... greedy and competitive on the day. It's interesting that we still haven't ever recorded one of these at a proper race.
Yeah.
Because we always want to run as fast as we can.
Yes.
So yeah. I know good people, good runners, you got good times, half marathons last weekend, and they're all like, yeah, I finished and I had something left, so feel good for London or whatever, you know. And you and I were like, yeah, I finished, and then I wanted to lie down because I spent it all.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... It's not a great training run from that point of view.
Oh, no, but it is, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you're going to... You're going to have to do that on the day, aren't you?
Exactly.
That's what I like. Some people treat races as training runs, and that's great, but I like to treat
Hello.
Them as racists, just run as fast as I can.
You like to treat them as racists?
Yes.
Yeah.
With disdain.
Just assume.
Yeah.
I'm really hot.
It is hot.
I'm wearing just the short sleeve running top
really
of
hot
mine.
And carrying a map, which is, to me, quite comic.
I
sewed up my... more irritating. That'll become a fan later on in the run.
I'm prepared to bet here right now.
Yeah.
I'll bet you £1 that the only person who has an issue with this map is you.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, going back to your, record in the past that sort of stands like a kind of glass shield behind your
new
record, I think I have to accept that's also true of my half marathon PB.
Yes.
I don't think that my fast one from years ago now is anything to do with my fitness, you know, and I need to disregard it because I basically think that if I'm at physical peak...
Yeah.
I can... The line for me is 1 hour 35.
Yeah.
And all my marathon times except one sit at 1 or 2 minutes either side of that line.
Right, right.
Including my halfway through a marathon times.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of almost an unburdening to recognise that, you know. I didn't realise I'm talking...
You're 88.
Yeah.
Yes. My 88... From the Royal Parks Half Marathon.
Back in the day, back in the day.
Back in the day, my 88. Mine's my 79.
Yeah.
Which you got... From years ago, when I was 17.
In 1979.
Yeah, in 79, around 79 at Darlington.
You get your first real PB. Was it in Darlington?
I think it was in Darlington.
Yeah, I could have run at great speed in Darlington, but that's a complete different story.
Lots of people find themselves suddenly sprinting in Darlington.
Get away from me! Dallow!
I like Dallow. But that was a different... That wasn't me.
Nope.
That was someone completely different mentally and physically.
That's right.
I remember starting off. It sounds boastful, but it's just a different person. I ran 5:20 for the first mile.
Yeah.
Tried to slow it down and ran 5:15 for the second. That's not...
That says something,
doesn't
it?
That's never going to happen anymore.
No, no.
Do you know what I mean? That's over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah. So you were part... You were basically part canine at that point.
Yeah, I was... I was not the same person.
No, and in a way, you know, it's a metaphor for life in general. It's we are just more in control of who we are. There's less mystery. You can't accidentally run something much too fast anymore.
Yeah.
It's just this awareness.
We're just growing up, aren't we?
Yeah.
And you tend to, and also, if you do the same training now as you did 2 years ago, you will be slower. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of...
Yeah, that's an accurate but very depressing statement. You don't have to say it quite so boldly.
No, but we just get slower with age. We will do. It's just life, you know.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I just wish I could stop saying it. It was interesting to me to realise... I always talk about my injury and illness last year.
Yeah.
And then I realised that, of course, last year I ran Bath really fast. I was slower this year.
Yeah.
Exactly what you just said. I ran it better this year.
Yeah.
I was pleased with my run, you know.
What, so your time was 1:37 on
1:37.08.
Yeah.
So I would love to have run 35.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was available to me on the day. I ran the run I was going to run, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I was very pleased with my... Like you say, I didn't get into a steady rhythm because of the crowds until 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah.
And then it's all about thinking about it, not about the pacing. But from then, like you said... I was overtaking for the rest of the race, and the last 10 miles, the last mile of Bath is tough, but I was ready for that.
Yeah,
and
it's really hard.
And, so basically the 10 miles between 3 miles and the last half mile, you can check my maths there, I just ran really steady, and I really did sort of put that kind of, this is hard, but just keep going.
Well, that's really valuable.
That's where the training is. Yeah,
that's really valuable, yeah.
Yeah. Although I totally messed up on food.
Right.
But we'll get to that.
The finish to Bath is... It's a bit like London.
Yeah.
You keep thinking... Oh, cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Man.
You keep thinking, one more corner, and this is it.
Yeah.
This next corner, then we're in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's... just feels a little bit elusive.
Well, I didn't get that that's a hill last year, whereas this time I knew that that last mile is... When you come around the corner, it's a long hill.
Yeah.
We're up by Brighton's old race course now.
Nice.
It's a garden centre by the looks of things, so maybe it's a race course as well. It's good. It's a bit bleak, but there you go, there's the evidence.
So we've got quite a long, gradual hill up there, haven't we?
Yeah. Get us up onto the South Downs, and... we'll stay on top of them for a couple of miles.
Yeah, that's great.
Once you're up, you're up.
So Paul and Rob made their way up along the South Downs. It was all rather windy. We join them along the way as they approach a chalk escarpment.
Look at this on our left.
Yeah, this is crazy.
We're right on the... It's an escarpment, is what that is.
Oh.
We're looking down. We're above Lewis on the South Downs. And we are at the top of a massive scoop of... I wish I could give
that's
you a bit,
beautiful.
Bit of geological action on this, but I don't know. It's great.
It's obviously glaciers were involved at some point.
Good. All right, geology code. Yeah. Don't get technical on my ass.
So
this is the most gorgeous place we've been since we were up in the moors.
This is absolutely spectacular. We're on the South Downs preparing for the London Marathon.
I think I need to be clear with you, Paul. We're an hour and a quarter into our 22-mile run.
Yeah.
And... I didn't start Runkeeper at the beginning.
All right, okay.
So we don't know.
Okay, don't worry about it.
We don't know how far we've come.
I reckon we've come about 6.5 miles, I would say.
Yeah, I think how many...
Because we're not running particularly fast.
We'll do it based on minutes per mile. So
I would say about 9.5-minute miles.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. So we need to do 22 times 9.5 minutes. We'll work that out as we go, right?
Yeah, we need to do... Well, you've started Runkeeper now, have you?
Well, do you want me to start now, do you?
Oh, no, it's up to you. Or are we going purely on time? I think if we run for about 3 hours, 20, 3.5 hours.
Yeah. 3.5 hours.
How does that sound?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's great running for 3.5 hours.
I love it.
Yeah. We've only got 2 and a bit to go.
If you haven't heard last week's... Or last podcast. We've run out of Brighton to the north and east and run along the South Downs Way.
We've had a fracas with a biker's gang.
Oh, trouble. Dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. Bikers!
Yeah.
And now we're going over the hills back towards the coast and thence Brighton. And it's really fantastic up
Rob's
here.
Rob's gigging in Brighton. I gigged last night in Petersfield and Port Solent.
Yeah.
A little south, southwesty double up.
How were the gigs?
Beautiful people. The first one was a kids' fundraising for a school, which was great, full of posh parents.
Yeah.
Really nice people. And then the next one was those really nice, rubbishy looking gigs in a cafe, but full of really warm hearted people.
Yeah,
who
great.
Were just laughing at everything.
Lovely.
Those are the kind of gigs you want.
They are.
It was just really, really, really enjoyable.
I had a good time in Brighton. And
Brighton comedian.
Yeah, and people put lots of money in my bucket for Parkinson's UK.
How's it going? How's
which is important
racing?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to do a bit of a count.
You don't have the big count up. It's just a massing.
No, I think we're into good four figures maybe.
Brilliant, brilliant.
£2,000 now. Hey, you don't need to come and put in the bucket. Go to UK. virginmoneygiving.com/Rob Deering and sponsor us. Give us some money. Give me some money!
Give me some money, mate.
I've really been thinking about my dad this week for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for ages. I think he's on quite good form, according to my mum.
Right.
But I haven't been able to visit him. And Cheltenham Week this week.
Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, and until really recently, my dad would have been there, you know.
A big man for the horse.
He'd go for a week every year and
did he really? Right.
Have a real high old time with his mates. So it's sad that he can't do that anymore. But good times.
I've never really been a fella for the horses, but I can see there's something really English about it in a way that I really like, although I never participate. There's just something, such drama, isn't it, when you
absolutely
go to horse racing?
Yeah, and its own little community, its own little world, and a world that's kind of straddles upper
yeah, it's
and working class.
Yes, yeah.
But except there's no, except I think these days it's been co-opted by the middle class,
right,
which is the one class that just doesn't get it.
Yeah,
you see all that coverage on Channel 4 and you just think, nah, you're missing it. I suppose it's just things changing over time,
but you still, I mean, on the odd occasions I've been here, you hear that roar as the horses race in for the final furlong. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The power of it, the beauty of the horses as well.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing about it, when I was little and my dad used to go, is he used to be away for the best part of a week, which is very unusual.
Yeah.
And so at the end of it, me and my brother would always get a really good present.
Right.
So really, apart from my love and missing and feeling for my dad, I just think this weekend in the year,
you get a nice present.
I'm used to getting a present.
Was it dependent on how well he'd done at the horses?
I think it probably was. I didn't notice, but yeah. Some years it was a Freddo, and other years it would be like three vinyl albums.
I remember going once to, I think it was Ascot.
Yeah.
And I just went for a day sort of betting. And then we had this guy, I was just with loads of people who didn't know anything about horses. And this guy came to chat to us and gave us tips for races and stuff. We thought, oh, this is great. This guy obviously knows what he's doing, so this is great. We'll just win loads of money.
Yeah.
So we tipped as he advised. Just lost everything, of course. Because A, who knows? And B, if you knew, why would you tell anyone?
Yeah.
And C, we're idiots anyway. So it's a perfect storm, you know.
But apparently, just this week at Cheltenham, this bloke found an odds-on horse, a horse that was, like, running at 1-5, yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, just a rubbish bet. But he thought, I want to make some money. So he bet a small time. This all sounds a bit dodgy, actually. It's like a money laundering scam.
Right.
But he tipped this small independent bookmaker on the tote. He said, here's £500,000. I just want to make...
I heard about this.
Make my 20%.
Right.
I.e., you know, get his £500,000 back.
Right.
Make £100,000.
Yeah.
And the horse didn't win.
Yeah.
So the little bookmaker said, right, that's me retired. Yeah. And he left with his £500,000.
Yeah, I was slightly racist assumption making him Irish there. But
the Irish did very well at Cheltenham, didn't they?
And ultimately, we don't need an excuse to do an Irish accent, do we, Paul?
No. No, we don't.
We most certainly don't.
We do not need that. I tell you, those Runcorn Park fellows do not need an excuse, like, here on the Flinty Taps.
Yeah.
I think they stormed it at the Cheltenham Festival, the Irish.
Yeah.
They won everything. They did really well.
Yeah, yeah. There's a World Cup we can take away. The Cheltenham Gold Cup.
So it's very...
Oh, look, there's the sea. Did you see?
It's very windy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope that's okay for you listeners.
This second podcast of the morning is immediately of a vastly different flavour to the first.
Absolutely.
Due to the incredible wind blowing off the tap there.
I'll tell you where we should go, where it's likely to be completely not windy at all. By the sea.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
No, that always,
never
that always
windy by the sea.
Provides a nice windbreak.
On down to the sea, with a brief stop to talk of getting high by running, and a sad tale of Colonel Harvey.
Oh, this is lovely and sad.
This is an old running podcast.
Little stone. I don't think you should make light of this. There's a little stone bench next to a little grave, little war memorial, surrounded by daffodils who just come at the right moment. Gorgeous spot, but quite bleak and lonely as well. It says, donated by Rottingdean Windmill Walks. That's nice.
The plaque commemorates the restoration of Harvey's Cross on 20th of June 1999, made possible through funding by the Harvey family to perpetuate John Harvey's memory and preserve the heritage of Downland.
And originally it was to John Harvey, Esquire of Ickwall Bury in the county of Bedford, died suddenly on this spot.
On the 20th day of June 1819.
Oh, good on him.
Awesome. Surrounded by daffodils, that's nice, isn't it?
A lovely place to go, but still, this is lovely and sad all at once, isn't
it? Yeah. But that's what the country gives you, though, isn't it? It gives you those sudden moments, does it, of reflection, doesn't
it? Absolutely.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's the highs and the lows. It's bleak and beautiful. Come on, keep
onwards,
running! For God's
onwards.
Sake! I've got to tell
cattle
you.
Cattle grid, got to be careful of the cattle.
Runner grid, that is. We should follow the cyclist. I reckon he knows where he's going, but I'm going to look at the map. This is where it's really worth not getting lost. We did that. We came there. We're next to that house. We go across the field.
Across the field. Yeah, and that can last quite a while. That can actually last quite a while, that runner's high for me.
Yeah, yeah.
After a good race.
Well, what did Vassal say? He said after you'd run 100 kilometres, he just felt a kind of
like he's in a bubble.
Imperturbable bubble of high for weeks.
Yes, yeah. You know? That's why people do ultras, isn't it?
And you can understand, it's really about... I've been reading Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods.
Yeah.
Where he walks the Appalachian Trail in America, it's 2,000 miles.
Which Scott Jarrett recently ran.
Did he? I didn't know that. Oh,
yes, he recently
is that
ran
written
that.
Up anywhere? Oh, I've got to read that.
Well, I don't know if he's going to write a report of it. You'd imagine he would, but I think he got a world record there because he's reached that stage in his career where... He's no longer young and fast.
No.
But he's old and he's just finding new challenges to do, and he did the Appalachian Trail. Yeah.
And it's just ultimately, it's like being a Jedi, you know, if you get into that mind and body set,
yes,
where you can run 100 miles in a day or whatever it is,
yeah,
it's just a different thing. You've become a different beast, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, but the idea of ultras again now.
But I like reading Bill Bryson on it because he's more like me. Also, this is another reason I've been thinking about my dad this week, because Bill Bryson did enough make me think of my dad. There's a lot of crossover there, and I'd like to wish I could have a chat with him about it, you know, because it's all the highs and the lows. Because the great thing about Bill Bryson is that he goes and does that, but he also knows that he reserves the right to go, actually, I don't like this.
Yes.
You know, and people don't do that. They forget that.
No, he's very good at he's very good at not being into stuff, isn't he? When he likes it, he really likes it. And when he doesn't, he just says, I'm not into this.
He turns against it, that's right.
And that's perfectly valid. And you're right, people don't do it enough. They have to sort of blanketly accept everything. And it's often a bit more entertaining and truthful to not like something.
Yeah, that's right.
And just be funny about it.
And people don't let themselves do that, you know. That's me and my wife's great theory of festivals. I think if more people admitted they weren't having a good time, then...
You'd start to enjoy it more.
Well, the festival industry would be really messed up. Wait a minute, look, see, that runner went that way. I'm sure we need to go this way. This will be the last map check.
No worries, it's okay.
We want to get this right. He gave us a wave and peeled off to the right. Yeah, see, he's going in. We can go either way, actually. Which way would you want to go?
Let's go this way. This seems all right.
No, wait, wait.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we should go down to the coast straight on. They will both take us to the sea.
Right.
And when we get to the sea, we turn right. And then there's no...
Just roll.
No maps anymore.
Just mosey on down.
It's talking about walking in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I think there's something quite fundamental about it. And he didn't really like walking in the woods.
Right.
When you're like down amongst them and you're in amongst the trees. I think there's almost
he
a kind of
like that.
Claustrophobia to it.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I think
yeah.
I've said before on our runs that when you're running, I think that we have a need for sky and space.
Yes.
And that when you want to get out like today, it's been amazing up on the tops there.
It's been beautiful.
And when you're up on a mountain, I just, it's, you know, a big slice of sky. It's like a drink of water, you know, but better. It's like a drink of water for the soul.
It's amazing. It's why people live on the coast, isn't it?
It's
that
just
sense of space, you know.
Running by the sea in Newcastle the other day, I just thinking, I want to, if I'm having trouble in London, I'm going to pretend to myself that I'm running by the sea.
Yes.
Because
it's losing yourself in that vastness, isn't
that's
it?
Right. And you really do lose yourself. That's what people say. They say that if you really... Oh, I also read this newspaper. Did you read about this guy who lived in the woods for decades? Stealing.
I saw that headline, but interestingly enough, just didn't bother reading it.
Yeah. Let's go his way, because this is going to
I thought that sounded fascinating, and then I didn't bother. But thankfully you did. So what was the story?
This guy, he's decided the odd.
Yeah.
It was a long story in the paper that is actually from an even longer book.
Right.
And he was about 20.
Yeah.
And he drove, he left his job,
yeah.
You know, just walked away from his job, drove away.
Yeah.
Drove a long way. He kind of drove until he ran out of petrol and money.
Yeah.
Drove into the woods. Left his keys in the car. Whoa, it's windy.
Windy.
And
running
he went
into a full head-on wind.
Off into the woods. And he stayed in the woods. And he foraged a little bit.
Yeah.
He was quite a talented hunter and fisherman.
Obviously new. Obviously quite outdoorsy.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
He didn't have a gun or a fishing rod.
Amazing, yeah.
So he got by somehow, and gradually he accepted that he was going to have to start stealing.
Right.
He found a very secret cave valley place.
Yeah.
And he lived there, and then he would burgle holiday homes down by the lake.
Right.
And he was really good at it. He was like a ninja burglar.
Yeah.
He'd...
What, nicking food and stuff?
Nicking food, leaving the places locked up so no one else could nick stuff.
Right.
And then people cottoned on to him and they'd leave shopping lists out saying, what do you need?
That's amazing.
And, but he hated that.
Right, he didn't like it.
Yeah, he'd reject that support.
Right.
And then eventually... He got caught, but it was 25 years later.
Wow.
And he'd been living totally alone.
Yeah.
For all that time.
Wow.
And it's just that...
Quite a loner.
Yeah.
Quite interesting character.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like,
they say that, you know, it's, people have always gone off on their own, haven't they? It's like Thoreau in Walden and...
Yes, yeah.
In Hindu, it's... You achieve that level, don't you, where you... give up possessions and relationships and you just wander and let the world look after
you.
Yes. And they say that it's about, for better or worse, you kind of forget who you are. You know, you're just a leaf on the wind. You're just existing. And the worst kind of that, you can also get the bad side of that. You know, if you get put into prison or something, you
slip into complete immorality, yeah.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, it's what we're seeking out, but it's also absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
I think, you know, these are the people, these are the Scott Jureks.
Yes.
You don't want to turn around after 23 miles, 25
miles,
26.2 miles, and share that moment with a stranger. I just want to keep running until...
That's the curiosity. Yeah, that's the sort of... But I am like that. Yeah. I suppose I want to run longer so that I can reach the stage where I share, where I feel like I do at the end of a marathon for longer with everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I like being on my own. I like running on my own, but...
All right.
I really like the sharing afterwards and the chatting. I absolutely love it.
It's really windy. Are you getting this, Steve?
Yeah, this is...
Can you hear us, Britain?
This is brutal.
Yeah. You know what this is, Paul?
This is tough. It's tough stuff. Tough mother.
Good training.
Good training. On the hill. Feel that air.
No matter what happens in London, it won't be as windy as this.
Feel that bohemian righteousness just breezing off Brighton.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Inhale it.
Yeah.
Inhale it.
The good thing about this air is it's definitely vegan.
Yes. That vegan air.
Talking of vegans,
yeah.
Do you fancy a Starburst?
You go for it. I've got a few. I might have some later.
I might have one now.
Go for it, mate. Yeah.
I just as I fancy it, you know. I'm not
enjoy
being
it.
Trying not to be too crazy about it. I can't get it. I can't get them. I've got
go
my
Starburst.
So. I know exactly it's between this stupid bit of paper and my hotel room key. Come on.
So this feels like the good sort of rhythm part of the run, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you've been running for a long time. You feel comfy. Nice and soft underfoot. This feels okay, doesn't it?
I feel absolutely fine. I can do this. It feels right now like I can do this all day.
Yeah.
I mean, the very fact that I can't get the Starburst, and now I can't get that pocket shut again.
Yeah.
And all of that is happening... And I'm still smiling, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not at the stage.
Yeah.
Not like you dropping your sweet.
That's tough. Tough moment.
Tough times.
Can I say, I
at
I
the
can
point
tell
when
the
you
story.
Dropped that sweet on that marathon, you sounded the same as that van driver who you ran across.
I can tell the story without using the words. I will.
Yeah, okay. I mean, long-term listeners will know it, but...
Talking about...
I think it's an article of faith for running
commentary. You're talking about frustrated moments... Running marathons. About the 22-mile point of one of my early marathons when I'd been following the Hanson method, I hadn't been doing enough long runs. And this innocent, wonderful child offered me a jelly baby. Incidentally, I found this for the Bath half. I reversed my normal high-fiving. I found myself high-fiving more later on in the race to give me strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Because normally I do it early on to relax me. And
earlier on, and then later on you think it's going to take too much energy.
I found myself using the high-fivers as kind of charges of energy.
A little jump, yeah,
to
that's
give me
good.
A bit of a boost.
Mind this bump. Yeah.
So 23-mile point, he's holding out a jelly baby. I reach out, absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
Taking anything at this point from the crowd.
Yeah.
Sweets, liquid, anything. I dropped the jelly baby. I looked down and saw it and swore loudly.
You swore as hard as you could.
Yeah, swore as
you
hard
got
as
about
I could.
As most swear loudly. As you get out of one syllable.
Yeah. Virtually in the face of this poor child.
Yeah.
Just,
no longer pure once that child
yeah,
heard that word.
Yeah, forever sullied by his confrontation with this salty, sweaty, angry man.
Yeah.
Who hadn't trained enough.
Northerner, don't forget Northerner.
In London. And I just, the effort needed to bend down and get the jelly baby was so huge. And I just had to instantly apologise to the child and his dad who was with him looking on me with absolute horror.
Yeah, yeah. What did you do?
As I then quaffed the jelly baby and shuffled on my sorry way.
It's a state of mind to try and avoid.
Yes, it is, undoubtedly. Which is why it's good to have a Starbucks. Have you had one?
No, I couldn't get one. I'm going to go ahead of you, get a picture of you as we leave the downs.
This has been a lovely stage of the run.
Can I run backwards? Can he do it? There you go, coming down off the grass, getting to the sea.
It's been great.
It's an important stage. I just want to see how long it is. What time is it? Oh, there's a clock.
A run to the sea.
We've been going for almost exactly 2 hours.
Right.
When we get to the sea.
It's a bit like Apocalypto, isn't it?
And they weren't kidding.
Running If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's pretty severe around here.
Yeah, it's good. I mean,
we're
it really is.
Along into the wind.
In all seriousness, this is, watch out.
Yeah.
This is, that was a little so poo warning for Paul.
Yeah.
This is really good marathon training.
Amazing marathon
because
training.
Because we are basically, in a slightly different way, expending all the energy we will on marathon day. Because we're running over hills, we're running over, well over 20 miles, and we're running in
soft underfoot, which is nice.
Yeah, but no windy, pounding. Windy weather, and I feel good.
Yeah,
I kind of thought that I would, James Brown style.
Yeah, I feel.
I think that for us, there's very much a comparison with our 20 mile last year, and we felt good then as well.
At this stage.
Yeah.
At this stage, we felt good, but it's not quite so warm to so hot today, is it?
No, and it's a little bit hopefully a little bit more like London in that as we go into the home straight, we know where we're going, you know. Yeah. What we're going to do now, new listeners, is going to run from here to Brighton Pier and we'll just look at the clock.
And then just see
and
how
based
we go,
on
yeah.
that, we'll see how much you want to add.
Yeah.
We'll go see how much more we want to do.
Yeah.
Halve that, run that far towards Hove and back.
Right. We're looking for a total run of about 3.5 hours, I reckon.
Yes, exactly.
Which is enough time, is it, bruv? How long we run so far? Two and a bit.
Last time I looked, which is I think roughly 20 minutes ago, I won't look now just
right
because of trying to get a bit of rhythm going.
So we've run about 2 hours 20.
Yeah, that's about right. Do you need the toilet, by the way?
No, I don't. Absolutely.
There's one here. I don't either.
Well, actually, I want mine a little wee. Like a child.
They're down here.
Like a wee, daddy.
All right,
daddy, wee.
I might as well go while we're here.
Yeah, might as well. Might as well.
We're back.
Yes.
Now, when Paul said on the hills, I think this might be the storm coming in, I thought it was an exaggeration, but I think you're right.
Yeah, it could well be.
It's
yeah.
really pretty full on. Oh, look, there's a cafe here. Oh,
that'd be
these
nice.
Cafes.
All English, yeah.
You know, so talking about getting my family out and walking to these places. They're so lovely when you're running and things so great. And if you walked here with the family, I think you might find that this cafe a little bit bleak and disappointing.
But there's something about seaside cafes, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the whole British seaside is just, there's a sadness to it because people go abroad now and they didn't before.
It's a falling Whoa. Into decay, but it's still existing, isn't it?
I really went backwards towards the top of those steps there.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
risk.
Yeah.
It was dangerous.
Ah!
I was just going to say, I really remember that from when I was little. That sense of being out in the wind.
Yes.
And just going inside, and it's just such a relief.
Getting a bit of shelter.
It's been blowing in your ears forever. So this is interesting. I know this road, but right. I've never come this far down it.
So this is your normal run when you're in Brighton?
Yes.
When you stay here with the common?
Yeah, yeah. And I normally run along this out,
yeah.
Then up and down the cliffs back. It means you're coming okay. back on a downhill, and you get a great view. It's really wonderful.
Nice.
I did it in the heat a couple of summers ago, and I went so fast.
Right.
I was like, wow, I think that was my
fastest ever.
Got back to the hotel, and I got my little run keeper out, and it said, you have run 300 metres.
Nice.
It was a real battle.
Liar!
I felt like Barry Castagnoli then. No, I haven't got the evidence!
Barry's an interesting case, isn't he? There's a few people like that where he's... He seems to be having problems with his hour barriers, doesn't he?
Yes.
He did the marathon, his first marathon in... Was it 4 hours and a... And
4 hours
a 30
and 30 seconds, yeah.
And then he did the half at Bath in 2 hours and... 20 odd seconds or something.
Well, the thing was that his Garmin said, you did it! And
right.
the Bath half said, you didn't do it!
You didn't do
so,
it.
So, and because as you know, my first ever run with any other people was with you two. And you're like just the two ends of what it is to have a relationship with how far you're going, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's brilliant.
But this is what I like about. This is, I do like running just for time.
Yeah.
So we don't know how far we go, we're just running for a long time. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just simple, isn't it?
No, I mean, that is the training, isn't it? Because we're basically, we're not running as far as we'll run on April 23rd. But unless something goes wrong,
we're running for,
lot more time.
Yes, yeah.
These cliffs are big.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Should we just climb up one?
Yeah, why not?
Just give it a go.
I don't see why not.
I don't think that would go wrong. I'm not really, but let me just float the idea. I'm semi-considering running London without a watch.
I think you should do it.
Because there's so much information coming at you in London.
Absolutely.
There's so many time reference points.
Well, this is what I would do. I don't run with a watch at all. I never
right.
do.
Right.
I measure our runs on my phone.
Right.
Normally.
Yeah.
And I'll measure when we do events. I stick my phone on for reference.
Right.
But it's always just backup really.
Yeah.
Because they're going to tell you how quickly you did it.
And you kind of know, you get to know your body, you sort of know through perceived effort how fast you're going. It's more you sort of get better at fine-tuning how much energy you're expending and how much you've got left and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes the watch only complicates and tires you out because you end up lost in subtractions and
yeah,
sums
yeah.
a bit, you know.
Well, I think that that's exactly right. I think that that's the lesson of the running machine. I always kind of almost gleefully get on a treadmill doing the maths, how fast do I need to go,
right.
changing kilometres into miles.
Yeah.
And then you set off. You start stressing, you start sweating, you start yeah. getting bored.
Yeah.
And suddenly the maths is like a cheese dream. You're like, oh, so it's 1.6 times
yes, yeah,
10
yeah,
minus
yeah,
3.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
And really, it's just a lesson in how you shouldn't be thinking of that stuff.
Yeah.
You should be a leaf on the wind.
Because you know...
Let it go.
You know if you've got anything left and you know... Basically, in London, there's so many time checkpoints.
Yeah.
There's too much information.
Just let your steady old legs do the thinking about it.
I'll have a little think I might do it. But then at the same time, you got that panic of, is there a time, is there a clock at 25 miles?
But when it comes down to it, you know, you're we're very lucky because in London, we start on the line.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
So all the clocks
it's amazing.
Are directly related to our run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can find out how long it's taken you every single mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except at 26. There's one at 25, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah.
Because there's always that sort of just gap right near the end where
yeah.
you're a little bit holding on for the finish, aren't you?
But surely at that point...
By then it's done and
you
dusted.
Go as fast as you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which isn't very fast.
Yeah. By then it's a done deal, hopefully.
That's right. So, I can feel this in my knees now.
Yeah, and also because you're on hard surfaces.
That's right, and they're not. That's right. That's a real direct reminder. You've got on the concrete now. But I think they feel as much. They feel a little bit closed in. You know, I think I'm feeling the poor form of going slow.
Right.
You know, I feel a little bit like I'm running in a little curve rather than
running
straight.
We're not actually going that slow.
No, we're going steady.
We're going okay now, actually.
Yeah. No wind for a second. Enjoy that. There's a very optimistic little playing field, a little cage for five-a-side and basketball.
Oh, no, now into the wind again.
Concrete patch among the cliffs. But, you know, the important thing with all this concrete is it's holding the cliffs back. I think there used to be a little industrial railway here.
Right.
It's none of it's very picturesque.
No, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And the tide's coming in, isn't it?
Slush puppy at this little cafe.
Molly's.
But it's great that all these cafes are open and that there's so many people down here in this second-rate weather.
Shows how much people love the sea, don't they? They love that feeling of a
historic Rottingdean. They're selling that, aren't they?
Of the, is it the negative ions, Rob, in your face?
Yeah, yeah.
Coming off the sea. It's amazing. Yeah. It's a different feeling, isn't it?
Hey, if you like ions in your face, when we get back to the hotel, I'll just clock
just
you around the chops. Yeah, do you want it hot or just...
No, that'd be great, yeah. This is a great run.
That reminds me of the old joke about the person who got their face badly burned. How'd you make them burn their face? I just phoned them up while they were ironing. Going right back to the Hansen method and everything.
Yeah.
This is a recap in part three. People wanted advice. I think we covered in marathon snacking the pros and cons of gels, the highs and lows of sugars. I think you're going to want something is the fundamental, isn't it?
Probably most people will.
People will.
Yeah.
And over the Hansen method. Going back to Andy and his Hansen method, aside from our discussion of the method, what would your tip be to someone running the first marathon, hoping for 3.5? I mean, what the information we don't have is how likely that 3.5 is to happen.
Yes. I mean, that's 8-minute miles, isn't it? 3.5.
Yeah. All the way. So you need to be able to run half a marathon in 1 hour 40.
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
Without too much fuss.
Yeah, just...
And then go steady.
Just that steady pacing, isn't it?
But a marathon, particularly your first marathon, whatever you set up for the first marathon, it's like a birth plan.
Yeah.
When you have
your first baby.
Change, everything can change.
Yeah.
And if everything or anything changes, you've got to forgive yourself.
Yeah, you know? And also, don't think about it too much.
No.
Like, I realised that with a Bath half. The start wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
We're chucked in with loads of people. You can't find your rhythm. You're running slower than you normally would.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just the situation now. It will clear.
Yeah. And ultimately, any plan you've got, if it goes out the window, enjoy that.
Yeah, you're still having the baby.
It's very freeing. The baby's still going to come. That's right. And those are the two things.
Look at this, mate. Bit of drama here.
Yeah, we might get...
Oh, yes.
The waves are crashing in here. We're keeping right. But whoa! I want to take a photo, but I also think we should maybe keep moving.
Yeah, just in case we don't want to get the gear get soft.
Yeah, it's the gear. I don't mind being wet, of course. Yeah. But
the sea crashing in.
Yes, I'd hate for that expensive equipment to become damaged because the two of you drowned making running commentary.
So, we have now run.
Just padding along.
I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to run too far.
No, you're
right.
I'm
thinking that we've run for 3 hours and 17 minutes.
Right.
So...
I reckon if you run for 3.5, I wonder if there's a way through...
Yeah, we should cut through.
Just a little impro cut through.
It's going to be a bit of a hill if we do that, see anything.
Right.
I'm sure I really fancy that. We'll go to the pier and left, because that way we don't have
to... We can get as close to the hotel as possible before we stop...
Yeah, good.
...stop running.
I agree. We'll go past the pavilion because that will also be picturesque.
Yeah.
I realise though, if we go that way, We're getting really near the pasty shop. It's almost like a subconscious pull I'm feeling here.
I want to go to the pasty shop, but I don't want to get cold. That's the
thing. I know. We'll just go to the pasty shop, and then it's just a half-hour walk from there to the hotel. How does that sound? It's exactly what he doesn't want. Oh, tennis ball. Here we go. To you. Oh, yeah.
Still
ball skills.
It. Still got it.
Still got it. Never had it.
Still got it.
Come on, ball skills. Oh, yeah. Deary's going to take this with the left. Oh, my knee. There you go.
We're actually playing football now with
this
the tennis
good.
Ball.
This is good. Like doing dogs. Well. Running like dogs. Guy, you missed it. I just realised there might be someone behind us whose ball that was. Boof!
Woof, woof, woof. Give me my ball. Give me my ball.
Okay, it was a good bit of grass. I'll go back on the on the front now.
On the knee shattering.
I think it was good that we embraced that little bit of dribbling. Yeah. One, because it's like the high fives late on the run that you talked about.
Yeah.
And two, because dribbling is a nice balance to all the nose running that's gone on.
Yeah.
I think what's nice about this run is it's pretty hard now because you've gone a long way. But none of it matches how hard it was when we first hit the sea and turned right into the wind.
We really felt
it. Around the 2 hour mark. That was incredible.
Well, what you get a glimpse of here is how your form starts to change when you get really tired, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I start... That's when your upper body starts coming in.
Yeah.
You start moving a bit more with your upper body and giving yourself a bit more.
I think I look good. I don't register a change.
Yeah. I think my muscles tightening, definitely.
Yeah, it's hurting, but I think in terms of the way we're moving, I think we're going much the same.
I think we're looking pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
Pretty groovy.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. The fact that I keep singing is also a good sign. So... listeners,
help.
Help us. I think that we should, even if we run from the
give us
pier
juice.
To the hotel, we're going to wrap up the podcast for you purely because I don't think you've got anything else useful to tell you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this
it's been really
journey
good.
Of pain.
We're going to
continue for another 10 minutes, but possibly in silence.
Yeah, yeah, we'll let you know how it goes. But
it's
it's not just about London, you know. We want to know about your halves.
Well,
we want to know about
everyone's doing Brighton Marathon. There's loads of people doing Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the season for the spring marathons. Yeah. People go to Boston.
We want to know all about these marathons.
Paris.
Marathon de Sable.
Yes.
I don't think too many of you be doing that unless you
put a few
unless you're insane. And then you know, we want to know about all of it and we want to see you at 17 miles for Starburst.
If you need any tips and you feel we can offer some sense of order to them.
We will always cover your questions, even if
there's
it ends
so much
wandering off into bad jokes.
There's so much advice spinning around. We can only give you the benefit of our limited experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it all helps.
And
to the mix.
Also, if you're at the expo, what day are we going to be at the expo?
We're going to go Thursday to the London Marathon Expo.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see you there.
We might actually be speaking about half one, hopefully.
Yeah, something like that. It's not fully confirmed, but we're looking at being at the expo on the expo stage, lunchtime on Thursday the 20th. So look out for us.
Not show.
Or just look out for us there. Yeah, I'm not going to bring the guitar.
No. I'll be buying my socks.
I'm still putting out my running. If you're running, listen to music as well as podcasts. There's a new runner's playlist going up every week.
Like it.
I've got to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great.
And I don't know, it's either going to be film music or The Smiths this week. Any requests?
Just entirely The Smiths.
Yeah, well, that's going to be it one week.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm an evangelist for that stuff.
No.
It's better than you. It's better than you think.
That'd be great.
And, yeah, I did. In fact, one of my long songs last week was The Cure's Disintegration. Excuse me, thank you. It's getting busy again, isn't it?
Yeah, just.
It's been really nice. It's nice to see you listeners talking to each other about this stuff online as well. So come in on Twitter and Facebook.
Enter the community.
It's a community. It's
a community of runners.
It's the run community. I like to call it. I don't really like to call it that. I never want to say those words again. Disastrous.
So, calling it a day then.
Yeah.
Signing off,
but running on.
Dirty.
Photo, selfie to finish it in that case.
Selfie to finish
it. We'll get some more as we go. You'll see them. There we are. That's us.
Well, did the boys do well in the London Marathon? If you search for episode 69 of Running Commentary, you'll find out. And if you enjoyed this condensed journey along the South Downs, do let Rob and Paul know. Twitter, at RunComProd. Hasta luego.
Farewell.
There we go. Oops, hey, I'm going to stop this.
And then you can talk about porn and filth.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.